Should be that excited to praise Jesus. So we're going to praise him and we're going to tell him thank you. And we're going to sing and praise him loudly. Right, Aaron and Michael? We're going to praise him loudly, right?
You walk with me. Everybody. Awesome. Okay, so for this month so far, who have we been talking about? Everybody just tell me. David. Okay, now I'm thinking back 2 weeks ago. Well, hang on, 2 weeks ago. Okay, so David, what was our lesson? David, it has something to do with a slingshot and a stone. David and who? Goliath. Okay, that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago with David. Okay, somebody already said it. Last week we talked about David and his best friend, remember? Jonathan. How many of you guys have a best friend? We talked a lot about best friends last week. Yes, that was pretty, I love that. I was thinking about my best friend. Does anybody want to know who my best friend, and you guys might not be able to relate to this, but actually I have a few best friends, I could say. She is a very dear friend, definitely. But actually, and you guys might go, oh, because you might not feel that way right now, but it's actually my sister. How many of you guys have a brother or sister that, you know, I mean, and honestly, when we were your age, we hated each other. Okay, so, and I'm not encouraging that, but I'm just saying it's amazing now that we're older and gone through life together. We are really, really good friends. So, You know, she doesn't work in kids' church. I don't think you would know my sister. Her name is Amy. So, anyway, you guys know Naomi that plays the keys? Coach Naomi is her mom. Naomi's actually my niece. Did you guys know that Naomi and I are related? It's kind of cool. Yeah. So can you see the resemblance? Anyway. So we talked about David and Jonathan being best friends. She's my niece. Yes. All right. So I want to introduce who we're going to talk about today. All right. We obviously know David is somebody we're going to talk about today, right? Okay, now, we're going to talk about David, and we're going to have him on one side, and we're going to talk about somebody else in the Bible. And it's not Jonathan, it's actually Jonathan's dad. Does anybody? Good job, Max. King Saul. There you go. He knows his Bible. That's awesome. All right, so I'm going to get into starting with our scripture verse. And if you've got that, go ahead and put it up. We're going to pray, and then we're going to go through our scripture verse, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time, this Thanksgiving week, God, where we can talk about David and Saul and talk about what was in each of their hearts, God. And Lord, we just want, bottom line, God, we want a heart like David, God. And I don't want to give away too much of it yet, but Lord, we want hearts that are after you, God, hearts full of thanksgiving, hearts full of your peace, God. We love you, and we thank you for this time we have to be in your house today. In Jesus' name, and all God's kids said, amen. Good job, good job. Okay, do we have that scripture? Okay, Colossians chapter 3. Okay, now there were 16 girls and 16 boys that had their Bibles, so if you've got your Bible, I know it's going to be on the screen, but if you want to follow along in your actual Bible too, that's cool. So, Colossians is in the New Testament about maybe halfway through. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to just introduce our scriptures, and then we'll go from there. All right, so Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, in my version, I like this version. And let the peace of God, I'm hearing some talking on the boys' side. Oop, and Makai needs to sit. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in the body, and be thankful. Now, we are in Thanksgiving season. Is it good to be thankful, Nathan? Let's put away that. Are you watching? Are you doing your Bible? Okay, cool. All right, if you're doing your Bible, that's awesome. If you're playing a game, that's not awesome. Okay. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. We will talk about that more, but let's say it all together. Everybody look at the screens. Let's say it together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in the body, and be thankful. All right, good. Okay, now our next scripture is going to be Philippians chapter 4. And you know what? If you're in Colossians and you're in your Bible, you just flip one book back. One book back. Backwards. And you go to Philippians. We're going to be in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'm just going to read it from the screen so you guys say it with me, okay? Everybody ready? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so I'm going to paraphrase this. So whenever you're tempted to be worried about something or anxious, God's saying in all things, but do prayer and petition, or supplication is a petition. It's just presenting your requests to God. And what it says up there with something else that we're having on Thursday, with what? Thanksgiving. So when you're praying, it's a good thing to always give thanks when you're praying to the Lord. Okay, so you give him your requests, but you also thank him all the time. Boys, I'm hearing some chitter chatter. I don't want to take away, you guys have an opportunity to not only not get a point taken away, but to add a point. So I would do everything within your power to make sure you're not going to fall behind today, boys, okay? And then the peace of God, which passes, and really that's all understanding, comprehension. If you take a comprehensive test, it's everything that you've learned up to that point, all your understanding. So which surpasses or goes past all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we want, okay? Now, one more scripture, Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament, you know, by Psalms and Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 23. It's in the Old Testament. Okay, but it's going to be up on the screen here too. Let's say that one together. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Another way to say this verse is, in the NIV, it says, above all else, guard your heart. That's a pretty important word, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Okay, so those are our scriptures we're going to springboard off of this morning. Okay, so last week, okay, David, 2 weeks ago, David killed Goliath, right? He got the victory. Awesome. Then last week we talked about David and Jonathan and their special friendship. Okay, now we're going to jump into 1 Samuel chapter 18 now. So this is kind of going along the timeline of where we were with David from the last 2 weeks. This is kind of the next things happening, okay? So right after David kills Goliath, okay, it actually, Saul, who was the king, he started becoming jealous of David. Do you remember last week we talked about the song that the women were singing? David, Saul has slain his what? Thousands. And David his what? Tens of thousands. Now, do you think Saul liked that song very much? No, because you know what? The people were saying, wow, look at David. My goodness. David's doing 10,000 and Saul's only doing 1,000. So you know what? That made Saul start to get jealous in his heart. He was jealous about David. I'm going to read this scripture that says, this is just saying again what we said, what we just talked about. The women were dancing and they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. It says Saul was very angry. This refrain or this song galled him, which means made him really mad with an attitude, okay? They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me only with thousands. What more? Now here's the key now where he's going with this. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. So you know what? He's starting to have these thoughts. Ooh, I've only slain my thousands and David's slain his tens of thousands. I better watch this guy because he's going to try to take the kingdom away from me. Okay, now with that thought, do you think he was happy that David was best friends with his son Jonathan? No, no. Okay, David and Jonathan were best friends, right? Now Jonathan was whose son? Saul's son. Okay, now the firstborn son. In those days, when there was a king, who was going to be the next king when the king passed away? It was their firstborn son. So the king, in natural terms, should have been who? Jonathan, okay? But, so that's the thing. David is saying, ooh, he wants to take the kingdom away from my son and my heritage. And he's becoming jealous. So it starts to become a not nice thing, all right? Jealousy is not a good thing. So it came to the point after this, okay, I'm just going to kind of skip ahead through what's coming in the next couple chapters. But in chapter 19 of 1 Samuel, Saul gets so upset with David that he actually tries to kill him in his house. Now, David was married to Saul's daughter. Anyway, he plotted a big thing where he and his men came and they were going to kill David while he was asleep in his bed. But the daughter warned David and said, hey, you go out the window. I'm going to spare your life. You go out the window because my dad's coming to kill you. So David's life was spared and he left. And he wasn't there when David came to kill him. So God helped him there. But the point is, Saul is so upset. This jealousy is now turned into where he wants to murder somebody. That's not a good thing. All right. Then in chapter 21, he actually threw, I think we talked about this last year, he threw his spear at Jonathan. We talked about that, right? You're dead meat, remember over here? And he put his arrow and he was trying to kill Jonathan. Yes, exactly. So Saul's heart is not in a good place right now, right? The jealousy. Now, later on in the next couple of chapters, actually, Saul started to hunt David like hunters would go in the woods and hunt animals. Now, I don't know about any of you guys. Any of you guys know anybody who hunts, like, in the woods? Right now is what? It's deer season. Have you guys? Well, there's turkey season, too, yes. And it's deer season. Birds, yes. Okay, so you guys are familiar. Okay, but you know what? It's different hunting an animal than a person. Oh, my goodness. He was hunting David like he was an animal. He had 3,000 men with him, and he was hunting. Actually, it says, the Bible says he was hunting for David. So David was having to run away from Saul repeatedly, like an animal would run away to not be shot at, okay? I mean, similar. We'll have questions in just a couple minutes, okay? So, and actually, including the time that Saul tried to hunt David down and when he was in bed and David escaped, and then the times that he was hunting David out in the woods and the wilderness, four different occasions that Saul was trying to hunt David. Wow, that's a lot. Poor David, I know. David's like on the run. He's like, what is going on here? Now, every single time of the four times, the first time that his wife lowered David through the basket in the window and said, go run for your life because my dad's going to kill you. So God spared David's life there. The second time. You know what? I'm going to go to it because I don't want to mix up the different times. Okay, in chapter 23, in verse 25, it says, Saul and his men began to search, and when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went into the desert in pursuit of David, so he's hunting him. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land. So Saul was called away to fight another battle. And so, you know what? He was about to get David. But then all of a sudden, he was called away because there was another war they needed to fight. So that's number two time that God spared David's life. Then the third and the fourth time, Saul actually was, this is going to sound silly, but they were in a cave and he was actually relieving himself. We'll just say he was taking a potty break. And David cut off a corner of his robe while he was in the cave, and Saul didn't know about it. And then David went out and he says, look, king, I've have a piece of your robe here. Do you think I'm trying to harm you? Do you think I want, you know, I could have killed you just now. Do you think that I really want to harm you? I've cut off your robe to show you that I could have killed you, but I chose not to. Why are you hunting for me? You know, so David's like, what is going on? So that was the third time that the Lord delivered David out of Saul's hand. And then the fourth time is actually Saul and his men were asleep, and they took his spear and his jug, I believe it was. David and his men took his spear and his jug while he and his men were asleep. And they went out, and then he called out to the king and said, king, why are you hunting me down? Look, I could have killed you again. My men even encouraged me to kill you. But he said, I will not touch God's anointed. I will not do it. So see, David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he chose not to. Saul was wanting to kill David, and God delivered David every time. That's pretty amazing, all right? So, but the point is, did David have icky, evil stuff in his heart towards Saul? No, but what did Saul have in his heart towards David? Jealousy, and it led to rage and anger and trying to murder and things like that. So, okay. So we're starting to see the differences between the two men here, right? I wanted to read from 2 Samuel, and this I'm just going to read a couple verses here. Let me go, 2 Samuel. Okay, and actually, David wrote part of this, and it was actually a psalm, but it's hidden here in 2 Samuel. But it's a song of praise. And when he was being hunted like an animal, this is what David said to God. Now, the whole chapter you guys could read later. It's pretty long. I'm just going to read a couple verses. It says, David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent men you have saved me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. So you know what? As David was being hunted, he's like, I'm calling upon you, God. You save me from my enemies. You do it, Lord. Okay, let's get to Psalm 57. And this is the little paraphrase here says, it's a psalm of David when he had fled from Saul into the cave. So it's when he was hiding in a cave from Saul. And part of Psalm 57 says, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wing until the disaster has passed. And he's just going on and on. And you know what? David said a lot of this as he was going out to meet Goliath, too. You know what? He was rehearsing who he was in the Lord, and he was thanking God, and he was declaring his trust in the Lord even as he was going to fight the giant. So David, a lot of the Psalms say he encouraged himself in the Lord. He was rehearsing who he was in God, the victories he had had. He was praising God. He was declaring his trust in the Lord, no matter all the icky stuff he was facing, all right? So basically, that is the message of trust that David had. Okay, so I thought I have a little thing over here that I want to wheel over, hopefully without spilling anything. Okay. Now, in theory, this should work. I did not test this out ahead of time. All right. So, you know what? I might move this back just a little bit. So, no, this pop isn't for drinking today. It's for a visual effect. Okay. Now, if you guys have been listening, I'm going to have you ask some questions here. Okay. So, tell me a characteristic of something of David. You guys tell me like some things that were in David's heart. And then, girls, I'm going to ask you about Saul's heart. Okay, so tell me some, brave. Okay, so these are going to be the things, and this is David. These are going to be some things in David's heart. He was brave. Okay? He trusted in God, trusted Jesus. Okay, what else? Yep, in the second row. You, yep. Yep, he loved God. Exactly. David had a pretty cool, pure good heart. Yes. Confidence, and what else? And he was faithful. Good job, you guys are listening. All right, do we have any other ones? Okay, in the white shirt. What's something else that was in David's heart? He did what to God? Praying to God, I like that. Praying to God. Okay, maybe two more in the red sweatshirt. He was nice. Right, because even though Saul wanted to kill him, did he try to kill Saul? No, he spared his life in more than one time. Okay, Edward, you be my last one. What else? He was caring. Good. Okay, so this kind of gives us a picture of David's heart. Okay, now we're going to talk about Saul. And hopefully this doesn't explode all over the place. Okay. All right. So the girls get to tell me about Saul. Oh, my goodness. All right. Who was listening? Tell me about King Saul. Okay. Yes, ma'am. He was bad to David. Okay. What else? He what? He had jealousy in his heart. Ooh. Do you think that's pure? Anger. Okay, what else, girls? What else? He was mean. Yeah, that's not nice to hunt people like an animal, is it? That's the opposite of nice. Okay, yes. Anger, we said that one. He was rude. Oh my. Yes, was he ever rude. All right. Let's take three more in the green coat. Evil. Oh boy. Yeah. Boy, you girls were listening. Okay, Shelby. Hatred. Oh my. All right, one more. Anna. He was trying to kill an innocent man. Okay, now. So, here's King Saul, here's King David. Now, when the squeeze comes, and by the squeeze, I mean difficult times, okay? And I thought about, let's start with David. When he faced Goliath, right? Hang on. When he faced Goliath, he said, God, I trust you, right? God, I trust you, right? So when David faced Goliath, God, I trust you. Lord, you've used me to kill the bear and the lion, so I trust you that you're going to deliver me from this Philistine. So the pure things that went into his heart when it squeezed came, the pure things came out of his heart, right? Okay, how about Saul? You know what? David has slain his 10,000s, and Saul has only slain his thousands. So what started happening in Saul's heart? Girls, David wants my, David wants to be the next king of Israel. It's not going to go to my son. It's going to go to David. So what are we going to do? So what happens? Thank you. So am I making a mess already? Yeah, they will after this one. Thank you, Miss Kirsten. Right? So he's starting to think icky, unpure, unclean thoughts. So when he is squeezed, when he is having all this jealousy, what's coming out of his heart then? Somebody tell me what? No, not real. No, like jealousy. So when he's thinking hatred, it's coming out bitterness, murder. Oh my goodness, he's trying to murder his son, and he's trying to murder David. So see, now let's think about some things in your life. What are some hard things you might face at school? Like things, you know, I don't know, maybe cheating on a test or some things that might put a squeeze on your life, a hard thing. Nathan? ABCs? Do you not know the ABCs yet? Oh, okay. Hurting a friend. Yes. When we face something hard, what's coming out of our heart? Is it purity or what else? Bullying. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. If there's bullying going on, and hopefully you guys are never the ones to do the bullying. I'm trusting that you love Jesus and that you wouldn't do that. But you know what? When you see somebody's bullied, do you run to their aid, you know? Or do you just say, no, I'm just going to tease. I'm going to just, you know, make this person even more miserable. You know what I mean? So when the squeeze comes on, the main thought is, what is coming out of your heart? Is it going to be like David or is it going to be like Saul? Okay. So, David, I want my heart to be like David. Who else wants their heart to be like David? Yes. Okay. I guess I need to probably use one of these little wipes. It would be a good idea. I didn't even think about that, Kirsten. You're so on the ball. All right. Now, I'm going to wheel this back over for now. And I have another visual, kind of a skit to show this as well. Okay, so can I get my characters to come out? All right. So, where is... Okay, so right here, we have King Saul, okay? And David, why don't you come over here? We're going to have David on the other side here. Okay, here's David, our shepherd boy. Now, we have a guard here, and do we have an umpire in the house? Do we have an umpire? Where did he go? No, he's here somewhere. All right. He'll come out in a second. Maybe he's still getting dressed. Okay. Cool. Okay, let's go back. Can we go back to those memory verses, the verses at the beginning, the Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let's put that back up. Okay. Now, David, our shepherd boy, right? He's the one that loved God. He had the heart like the water, the pure heart, right? Tell me, let's see. Okay. Let's go over this verse again. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in the body, and be thankful. Okay, do we have our umpire yet? Okay. Let's go to our second scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. See back there? Okay, come on. Umpire, you can come out. Okay, we have our umpire. We'll give our umpire a hand. He's coming out. Come on, Mr. Umpire. Do we have any baseball fans in the house? Anybody like baseball? There he is. There's our ump. Hey, all right. So, go back to 3:15 again. Sorry. Let's go back to our other scripture now that we have our umpire here. All right. Now, Mr. Aaron, I know this is Aaron Polinsky, and his family is like, wow, baseball. They're so good at baseball. They, like, all of them have played at some point or another. So, but I would think that Mr. Aaron would know what an umpire does in the game. Okay, so Aaron, will you tell us, is this one on? Is red on? Okay. All right. Ooh, there it is. Okay, Mr. Aaron, will you tell us what an umpire does in a baseball game?
An umpire, like, controls the game, and he calls balls and strikes, and if you're safe or out.
Okay, so is he basically running the game?
Yeah, so he's pretty much just a referee.
He's like a referee. Okay, cool. All right, let's go back to our chapter 3. Let's go back to our 3:15. Now, another way to say Colossians chapter 3, I looked it up in a different way to say it. It says, let the peace of God call the shots or be the umpire in your heart. Okay? Let the peace of God be the umpire in your life and in your actions, or let the peace of God act as a referee in your emotions and your decisions. So, do you suppose that David here was letting the peace of God and the Lord be the umpire over his heart?
Yeah.
Was God calling the shots? Was God protecting him? Was God... Right. Okay, good. How about Saul? Was Saul doing that? No. Okay. But you know what? The umpire... Okay, boys are about to lose a point, and I really don't want that to happen, because you guys need every point possible. All right. David, okay, let's go back to the other scripture then, the Philippians 4. We'll get there. We're there. Okay. That last part, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So was David, that first part says he was anxious for nothing, but he was praying and he was giving God thanks, right? Was David doing that? Yeah. So the peace of God then came and set a guard over his heart and his mind. Right? So this is true for today, you guys. If you're praying, if you're trusting God, if you are thanking him, even before you see the prayer answered, but always giving thanks in your heart, then it says God's peace then will come and it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. How many of you guys want a guard like this over your heart? It helps you to do the right thing. Do you suppose Saul had a guard over his heart to do the right thing? How many of you guys want a guard over your heart? Proverbs 4:23, above all else, the Bible says, above all else, guard your what? Heart. For out of it flow the issues or the decisions or all of your life, the things of your life, right? So, if basically, boys and girls, if you're in a hard position and you're feeling the squeeze coming on, something hard is coming, right? I don't even have to explain that. But if you have a hard thing in your life, what's going to come out? That's the main thing. But you know what a good question to ask yourself is? With the reaction or the decision I'm about to make, is it going to cause me peace? Is the umpire going to win? Is the umpire going to have peace in my heart, right? Am I going to use the guard that God's given me to make the right decision? Okay, will what I'm about to decide cause my heart peace, or will it cause my heart turmoil? If you make a decision and it's not something that will please the Lord, and your heart starts to get not peaceful and not in turmoil, guess what? That means you did not use the referee or you did not use the guard to make the decision God wanted you to make. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. I'm asking questions about this for tickets later, so I'm hoping that you guys are really paying attention here. Can we give our skit people a hand? Oh, King Saul, he's still not very happy. He is still not very happy. All right. Shh. Okay. Thanksgiving and peace are a choice. We're going to go to Zion 7. I want you guys to listen. And you know what? There's some stuff in Zion 7 too. Hey, before we go there, we're going to have questions at the end. And if you guys aren't paying attention, you won't be able to get a ticket. So you guys really need to pay attention because I'm asking questions when we're done. Okay, go ahead.
King Saul was on the warpath again today. King Saul was on the warpath again today. Twice the king tried to kill his servant David, son of Jesse, as he sat playing the harp in the palace.
The king's behavior toward David has taken a peculiar twist in recent days. At one time, David was highly favored among the palace staff, especially after his defeat of the Philistine champion Goliath.
Fortunately, David does have one friend left in the palace. It's the king's very own son, Jonathan. And we'll be talking more about the benefits of their friendship in tonight's broadcast.
That's all coming up on the Zion 7 Report.
You're watching the Zion 7 Report, a comprehensive news magazine reporting today's news as it happens. With anchors Adam Ziklag and Eve Haviland. Plus, news commentary with Ido the Seer. The Zion 7 Report.
King Saul made it clear today that David ben Jesse's opportunity to live in the palace and be the king's servant is no dream come true.
On the contrary, it's more like a nightmare. King Saul's erratic behavior has caused David to be very uneasy in the king's presence. Zion 7 correspondent Sarah, daughter of Josiah, spoke with King Saul today about these violent mood swings.
After David's defeat of Goliath, King Saul had David come and live in the palace with him. But it appears that now the king may be seeing way too much of David. He seems to be almost haunted by images of David on every hand. In his mind, everywhere he turns, the king sees David looking at him or making fun of him all day long. He says there's only so much he can take.
There's only so much pressure I can take.
But you're the king. Pressure's your life.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm used to pressure, but not this kind of pressure. The kid wants my job.
He's a shepherd boy.
Yes, with a mean sling. Look, I know he's just a kid. And I don't mean him any harm, really. I don't. It's just that sometimes I do things that I later regret. But I'm working on it.
I tried to offer the king some counsel. As I could see, he was torn by his own unpredictable behavior. But the more I spoke with him, I could tell the things I was saying were not really registering. It appears that the king may need more help than I can offer. For the Zion 7 Report, I'm Sarah, daughter of Josiah.
As you can see, it has become increasingly dangerous for anyone to remain in the king's presence while he harbors this bitterness toward David.
We asked Dr. Hadaram Shim about this uncontrollable urge to strike out at someone who means you no harm. He blames it on the age-old problem of jealousy.
Scientists have proven that under certain circumstances, some people do things they don't want to do. For example, if a man spends too much time around someone whom he believes is better than he is, he could begin to do things to that person that he would not normally do. And he would continue to inflict pain, as much pain as possible, on that person until given a reason to stop. We call this illness jealousy. But the good news is that jealousy is not incurable. That same man can be reprogrammed to believe that he is a unique creation of God and that jealousy is from the devil.
Fortunately for David, there is one member of the palace staff who is not jealous of him, and that's King Saul's son, Jonathan.
David says he could not ask for a more loyal friend than Jonathan. In fact, David has become afraid that Saul could turn on Jonathan if he finds out how much he has helped David.
Jonathan risks his life for me just about every day. He's always getting me out of jams with his dad, sneaking me food when they won't feed me, and letting me know about Saul's latest plan. If he wasn't here, I'd probably be pinned to the wall somewhere around here with a spear running through my chest. But I'm thinking, if his dad keeps acting like he has been, Jonathan's going to end up on the king's hit list, too. Run! So I better be going to see you.
Well, Jonathan does seem to be risking a lot to befriend David. The question is, why would he be willing to put his relationship with his father in jeopardy for the sake of his newfound friend?
Hiddo the Seer will talk with Jonathan about that, and tonight's The Way I See It. That's all coming up right after this.
Going once, going twice. Sold to Rue the Herdsman for one goat. Well, what is this? Jacob, are you offering this bowl of lentil soup for sale?
Yes, it's for the school.
All right, then. Who'll open the bidding on this fine bowl of soup?
2 bars of gold.
2 bars. I have 2 bars of gold. Do I hear 3? 2 bars of gold. Do I hear 3?
I'll give 3 bars.
3 bars of gold. I bid 3 bars of gold. Do I hear 4 anywhere? 4. A big hat with a golden brooch. I'm bid a big hat with a golden brooch. Do I hear 2 hats? 2 hats anywhere, but a bid 2. Bid, well, give. Hey, look. Hey, yes, ma'am. A full set of teeth. We've got a full set of teeth bid. Who'll give more than a full set of teeth anywhere, but give full set of teeth? A firstborn son?
What?
A firstborn son? Who'll give more than a firstborn son for this bowl of soup? I got a firstborn son made anywhere but give anything.
One birthright.
One birthright? Going once, going twice. Sold Jacob's little soup to his brother Esau for one birthright.
How much would you pay for a big bowl of delicious Jacob's lentil soup? Well, that's not enough. Jacob's lentil soup, always sold to the highest bidder, but always worth a lot, lot more.
It's time for The Way I See It with Ido the Seer.
Good evening. Welcome to The Way I See It. I'm your host, Ido the Seer. Joining me tonight is the heir to the throne of Israel, the son of King Saul, Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ido. It's my pleasure.
Jonathan, what is it about this David guy that causes you to take sides with him over your own father?
Well, that's easy, Ido. David is a man of integrity and courage. Unfortunately, my father is neither.
Whew! Those are some strong words about one's own father.
I know. And I'm sorry that it's come to this, but the way that he's treating David isn't right. He's acting out of jealousy.
But what if he's right about David being king? You'll never get to sit on the throne. What happens to your allegiance to David then?
My friendship with David will never end. I've made a covenant with him.
Tell me about this covenant.
How about if I show you? Come with me. Basically, when you make a covenant with someone, you're saying that you're going to be there for them whenever they need you. 24 hours a day.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall?
All you have to do is call. Basically, you're saying everything that is yours is theirs, and everything that is theirs is yours.
Yes, but what if you don't live in the king's palace? What if your clothes don't smell the greatest, or even fit for that matter?
You don't necessarily give them your clothes, unless they really need them. You lay down your robe because it stands for who you are. All that I am as a son of the king belongs to my covenant partner. If he gets into a tight spot, need some help financially, I'm there for him.
Not a bad deal.
And if he gets into a fight that he can't handle?
Or it's for a guy who has killed a giant, may never happen.
But unfortunately, it's not that easy with my father.
I see. So you protect David from your father because of the covenant?
I've sworn to protect David from all his enemies.
Jonathan, I truly respect your loyalty.
Thank you.
Kiddos, who you choose as friends in this life will help determine where you go in life. As Jonathan has proven, there are friends that can help you and stick closer to you than your own brother. Remember, choose your friends wisely. And be a good friend to someone yourself. I'm Edu the Seer, and that's the way I see it.
Thank you, Ida.
Well, that's our program for this evening.
Tune in next week for more late-breaking news
on the Zion 7 Report.
Good night.
Did that look familiar? That was the one we watched last week. I know we need to get. We'll watch the other one next service. So, yeah, that's okay. But you know what? It still totally went along with today's lesson, didn't it? Right? With Saul and being jealous, and David having a pure heart. Very good. Okay, we're gonna pray because our moms and dads are gonna be coming in a few minutes. So we're gonna pray, and then we're gonna do the questions. Okay? So everybody, let's get ready to pray. And remember, I'm giving a point to whoever was listening the best through the message, and I don't want to take away a point at all. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this Thanksgiving season, God. And Lord, we want to have a thankful and a trusting and a peaceful heart, Lord, like David had, Lord. We don't want to be like Saul, who was jealous, Lord, and it led to murder, and it led to hatred, and just all the things we talked about, God. We want our heart to be pure like David. So when we're squeezed, God, when we're squeezed, we want purity to come out of our heart, because that's what we put into our heart, Lord, because we're trusting you and because we're making decisions that please you, Lord. We want that to be true of our heart, God. Lord, we choose, Lord, right now, we choose to give you thanks, God. We thank you, Lord, for our families, God. We thank you for our friends here at church. We thank you for heat, oh God. We thank you for food. We thank you that Jesus, you died on the cross for us, that we can live with you forever. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible, Lord, that guides us and gives us the way we need to live, God, that would please you. God, we have so much to be thankful for. And like David, we choose to thank you, Lord. We want that heart that's constantly giving you thanks, that has that guard in front of it, has the umpire in front of it, always doing the right thing and saying, doing things that will cause our heart peace, God, because we want to be right with you all the time, Lord. Create in us a clean heart, Lord. That was one of David's prayers. Create in me a clean heart, God. Like that sponge with the water, Lord, clean heart, Lord. My motives be pure, Lord. And God, that I dedicate to want to please you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, and all God's kids said, amen. Amen. Okay.